My next guest is on the line. He's Lawrence Noah Sinitz. He is a contributor, amongst other things, to the Times of Israel and a former member of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, as well as having been the Pretoria chairman. He's written an article published in the Times of Israel talking about the International Court of Justice case having been kicked further down the road. And that is the discussion that we are going to be having right this afternoon. Lawrence, thank you so much for being with me on Chai FM.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. My first time, actually.
Well, definitely not the last. Let me tell you that up front. You've certainly got too much to offer to our listeners and the kind of subject matter that we talk about. So let's jump into this and talk more regularly. Lawrence, your article argues that the ICJ has essentially kicked the case further down the road. And I'm just wondering, for listeners who haven't followed every single kind of twist in the road here, what exactly did the court decide and why is it important?
Okay. Well, firstly, I think we've got to start off with understanding that normally parties file one round of documents. You know, the first one is called the memorial, which is what the claimant or the applicant files. And then the person who's defending the case, the party who's opposing the case, files a counter memorial. So that's one round.
Yes.
So what happened was South Africa asked the court to allow it to file a second round, which doesn't really automatically always follow. And that's what the court did. The court allowed South Africa a second round to file what is called a reply. So clearly South Africa felt that there was a lot that had to be dealt with that Israel had raised in their counter memorial or statement of defense. And that is what happened now.
All right.
So the court is...
Yeah, go on. Pardon
yes.
me.
So the court has now allowed South Africa to file its second round, which doesn't always take place, but can. But the noteworthy thing is not so much simply that there's a second round, but how much time the court has given South Africa to file. 18 months.
So you've anticipated my very next question, because it was that. I mean, South Africa now has until late 2027 to file its reply. And Israel, to counter-reply, I think they call that a rejoinder, it's 2029. I mean, that's an astoundingly long period of time. In your view, does that signal that the court sees the case as weak or just simply very complex?
Okay, it's not really what the court sees, but it's what South Africa sees. I just need to tell you that there's nothing unusual about filing a second round of papers. It has been done before,
mm-hmm.
but the time limits is what is so extraordinary. South Africa asked the court for this extension of 18 months. It wasn't something that the court simply randomly decided on. And that raises the question, why does South Africa need 18 months to file a set of papers at the court?
Yes.
For example, in the Rohingya genocide case, which is known as the Gambia versus Myanmar, the time limits were about 6 months in the second round to file further papers. So South Africa obviously feels that there's a lot that it needs to deal with. In fact, they said so. They said because of the complexity and volume of the issues that Israel has raised.
I'm struggling putting the pieces of the puzzle together. I do understand the complexity of the situation. I mean, I think that's clear. What I'm also struggling to understand is the fact that we're talking about accusation of genocide. I mean, there's probably no more serious accusation you could make against anyone or any country. Surely time is of the essence. Surely you can't just, in your words, kick the can down the road.
That's absolutely right. You see, at the beginning, they were in a huge rush to reach the International Court of Justice. And actually, they did it in a very short time frame. They did it in under 3 months, from the 7th of October till, I think it was the 29th of December, when they filed their application at the that's a very short amount of time. All of a sudden, South Africa's not in such a big hurry.
Yes, exactly. Which something's not washing with this story and with the accusation. Something's just not making sense here. You write in the article that South Africa's founding papers, and these were your words, tendentious and inaccurate. And that if you can't make a solid case up front, you can't fix it in a reply. So what, in your view,
that's right,
were the most serious weaknesses in South Africa's original submission?
Well, you see, they're extrapolating. They're trying to, I suppose, to put it simply, make a mountain out of a molehill. But it goes even deeper than that. They never really had a sound foundation for genocide in the first place.
Yes.
They've used misplaced quotes that were made by Israeli politicians out of context of what they actually meant. And they've relied on that to show a genocidal intent. But now later on down the line, we can see that with the fullness of time, that's most certainly never been the intention, and no politician in Israel has suggested anything genocidal.
So,
things have changed somewhat.
Do you think that Pretoria underestimated what was required of them in terms of the evidentiary burden, or, in your opinion, was this always more of a political case than a legal one?
This was opportunistic, and it was lawfare. It was designed to discredit South Africa, discredit Israel, because South Africa knew that it would be a very easy threshold to satisfy, put Israel in a position of disrepute, and that's exactly what they achieved temporarily. But the temporary measures are just a possible right that the Palestinians may have. It went far from establishing any actual facts. And South Africa knew that when they started the case.
Lawrence, your article has a warning implicit in it, in that you say the fact that South Africa is going to likely try and introduce new material based on events after its original filing, well, you say this could cut both ways. So I guess it's really important for us to kind of understand what this new material might be and to what extent it could damage Israel.
Yes. Well, you know, during the course of the war, there was a period when Israel suspended aid because Hamas was stealing it. And this is an example of a double-edged sword. South Africa might introduce that idea that Israel has intentionally withheld aid. And then, fortunately, Israel will have the right to respond to that. In other words, it will have the last word in the second round of filing of papers in which to discredit that argument. That kind of double-edged sword will happen. Israel will have the last word, and they will be able to explain why that happened.
Are Israel going to be given a fair hearing, in your opinion?
I beg your pardon?
Will Israel be given a fair hearing? Do you think those judges are objective and doing what judges are supposed to do, or do you think they're going to be swayed by political considerations?
I think in a final determination, the facts will have to speak. It's going to be very difficult, no matter how biased the court might be, to overcome the overwhelming facts that show that this entire genocidal case is really not founded on reality. I think even a biased court will find it difficult to make that finding.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Lawrence, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Keep following you on the Times of Israel. And as I said, there is no doubt that we will chat again. Really appreciate your input on Chai FM this afternoon. Thank you.